You're listening to KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One.
Take that night train to Memphis, take that night train to Memphis, and when you...
I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer, reporting from the Middle Tennessee town of Monterey. It was established back in 1893 by the Cumberland Mountain Coal Company. Today, coal is history here, but the town keeps chugging along with just under 3,000 residents. It's 100 miles to the nearest big towns of Knoxville, Chattanooga, or Nashville. But this is a place where people come to get away from it all, to bike, kayak, hike, and just kick back. Come along and join me for a visit with Putnam County historian Dale Welch as he shares tales of Whistling Willie, the Monterey train station's resident ghost, along with other stories from Welch's life journey and life in Monterey, where the hilltops kiss the sky.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, oh, we'll shout hallelujah all day.
Dale Welch.
Putnam County historian.
You're how many miles from Nashville?
We're 100 miles from Nashville, 100 miles from Chattanooga, 100 miles from Knoxville. I tell people we're about 100 miles from everywhere.
I love it.
I've been doing a lot of ghost stories and other things for our Stonecom radio.
So there are ghosts here in Monterey?
We've got a ghost here at the depot.
Oh, really?
We don't know who he is, but we nicknamed him Whistling Willie. He's got his own distinctive whistle. He'll go, and you can hear him walking.
Hear the footsteps.
Sure. The last time I heard him was about 3 weeks ago. I was doing a tour for some people in here from Florida. He whistled up front. They turned around and said, "Who's that?" And I had to tell them the story about Whistling Willie. Like I said, I was in here one day when there's probably 20 people in here, and the whistling started up front, and they just thought it was old Jack coming in late for the meeting. But I told them what it was, and all these big old burly guys tried to cut out the door there. But I said, "No, no, no, no. He just whistles and walks. He don't holler boo or throw nothing at you."
That's interesting. That was right in broad daylight during the daytime, huh?
Yes, sir. We never know when you'll show.
Because I thought ghosts mostly came out at dark and nighttime.
You watch too much TV.
Another ghost that lives here in Monterey.
One that I actually seen. I was going to a church that I'd never been to before to hear some of my friends sing. This was in Overton County. And I turned the wrong way. And I was heading down this hill, and here come this woman walking up the hill with a bucket of apples, dressed in an old dress and stuff. And I stopped and said, "Ma'am, where is this particular church?" And she grinned and pointed the other way. It took me about 30 seconds to go down the hill and turn around and come back. When I turned around, she was gone. I stopped up at the top of the hill, and I looked down the ditch line across the field. She was gone. There wasn't any cars or anything.
Interesting. So whereabouts are we now?
We're in eastern Middle Tennessee, right on the edge.
Town called Monterey.
Monterey, Tennessee, where hilltops kiss the sky. That's been the motto for a long time.
And what's the history of Monterey?
Monterey was founded in 1893, but for many, many moons before that, this area was called Standing Stone because of a large stone monolith, they said, that stood about 16 feet high, looked like an old gray dog standing on its hind legs, pointed due west. They think built by prehistoric Indians. But when the railroad came in 1893, they were here to get all the coal and timber, and it was in direct route, so they blew it up.
Oh, man.
They could care less about prehistoric Indian history. But there was a group called the Order of the Red Men. That's a fraternal organization, not really red men. But they took an 812-pound portion of the stone that was left, had it engraved, and brought back up, and it sets two blocks east of the museum here, right next to where our library's at. And it's set there since October of 1895.
So right now, we're in a train depot in Monterey. Mm-hmm. And this now serves as a museum, correct? Yeah.
It sits on the exact same location as the 1893 and the 1903 Monterey depot. It's the same length, but it's a little bit wider because we wanted it to be a museum. The museum was built in 2012. It's owned by the city of Monterey, but it's maintained by the Monterey Depot Historical Society, too. They're kind of the friends group.
So why should somebody come to Monterey? What's the attraction?
Oh, because of the unique history. We're a mountain coal town. Our elevation is just a little bit higher than Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge. We just don't have the Great Smoky Mountains and Dolly next door.
But you are relatively a mountain town then.
Yeah, yes, sir. We're the quieter side.
And so how about places to stay and places to eat here?
We have a hotel here, but we're close to the big cities of Crossville and Cookeville. There's a few restaurants to eat here in town. There's a mom and pop right across from us called the Cup and Saucer.
And what would be your first choice to order there at the Cup and Saucer?
Breakfast is what I have about every morning there. Mm-hmm. But they're known for their famous catfish. They've got their own breading and stuff they use, and they don't use some of that foreign stuff. It's all American catfish.
You were born and raised here.
Yes, sir. I've been here for 59 years.
And your mom and dad, they are from here?
They're from just north of here, a few miles, so you might as well call it from here.
How did they get here? How did they settle in this area?
My Welch family's been here since 1811, and other families even before that.
Were they stone cutters, or what brought them here?
They were mostly farmers.
You went blind. You were not born blind, right?
Right. I had this weird disease where me and 4,000 other people in the world came down with it. I had my own newspaper here for 12 years and until that happened to me. They sent me to the Chattanooga Hospital, and they saved my life down there.
So it just happened real suddenly?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Can you...
In just 2 or 3 months.
Can you see me at all?
I can see your form.
Kind of outline.
I know you've got eyes, nose, and a mouth, but I can't see that. Outline. But it's funny. If I take your picture, I can see what you look like. I can see light coming out of something like a computer screen or a camera or whatever, but just light generally falling. I can't see where the hoop.
Interesting. Is there any prospect, any hope for?
No. They were surprised that I could see as well as I did.
There's some research that we just heard about the other day, and it had to do with the tongue and using those senses to connect with sight. Really fascinating. So your main activity, thing you're involved in now, you're not doing newspaper.
I'm here 6 days a week, but I still make a pretty mean photo every now and then. But I still do some writing. That's kind of within me.
And so do you do that for a local publication? Or
I send stories to the Herald Citizen in Cookeville and some of the local papers around.
And what do you like to write about?
Oh, history, of course.
Just kind of born and bred being curious about history?
Sure, yeah. I got interested. I used to stay a lot with my grandmother. And she used to tell all kinds of old tales about her grandma, what she told, and all this stuff. And in the 1970s, I got a Christmas present of a cassette recorder. And I sat down, and she told me a bunch of stories. And just a few years ago, I ran across that cassette tape. I was afraid to put it in anything.
Thought it would break down.
Yeah, I took it to a radio friend of mine, and he put it on a CD for me, and that's what my brothers and sisters and cousins got for Christmas that year.
Isn't that cool? And you didn't even realize what you were doing at the time until later. It was a gift to yourself and your family and your brothers.
Yeah, I got to hear her laugh and all that stuff again.
Yeah, that's really special. Kind of serendipity. You didn't realize how profound a thing you were doing at the time.
Yeah, I'm telling old stories.
And you're from Wales, your family?
Yeah, my DNA done a few months ago, and I'm just from all over the place.
Okay. Not unusual, huh?
Great Britain, Wales, Ireland, yes, but I wind up all over the place, too.
Well, thanks so much for sharing.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah. I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from Tennessee. We'll see you here.
Take that night train to Memphis, take that night train to Memphis. And when you arrive at the station, I'll be right there to meet you.
I'll be right there to greet you.
The underbed music was performed by 5-time Grammy Award-winning musician David Holt, based in Asheville, North Carolina.
Or we'll have a jubilee down in Memphis, Tennessee, and we'll shout hallelujah all the day.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com. Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
Hawaiian Legacy Hardwoods and Four Seasons Resort invite you to sponsor a legacy tree and contribute to the biodiversity of Hawaii. Legacy trees can honor an individual, commemorate an event, or memorialize a loved one. Every tree dedication is a living legacy and a gift which grows grander year after year. The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now.
The Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative was recently awarded the prestigious Phoenix Award by the Society of American Travel Writers. HLRI was one of 4 recipients of the prestigious award that recognizes international organizations actively involved in conservation, preservation, beautification, and anti-pollution campaigns that further the growth and appeal of travel destinations.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided in part by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. People often associate the Society of St. Vincent de Paul with thrift stores. Donations like clothing, your gently used couch, or still serviceable washing machine generate funds to assist the Society in putting food on the table for people in need, or keeping the lights on and families in their homes. To find a St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in your area, visit svdpusa.org.